Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special We Are Wrestling edition of the BCP. Super excited to welcome in a friend, a colleague. He is the creative director and lead commentator over at We Are Wrestling, the head of their debut show tomorrow night in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Please welcome in my friend, the voice of a generation, Mr. Pete Rosato. Pete, welcome into the BCP, bro. How are you, man?
Thank you, Rob. I mean, listen, it is an absolute honor and pleasure to be on the Bob Culture Podcast. I've obviously kept track and watched episodes on Facebook and seen everything that's gone on. And now for me to be on it, it's like, this is a real thing now. I'm here. I'm in it.
It's long overdue, bro. And people like it's that point now where people coming up to me like, oh, why didn't you have me on, kind of. And I'm like, but you know what? At the end of the day, like, I have my eyes on people and I'm such a planner, like such planning ahead. And I knew you had this big show. We had a great conversation over at Titan, which is amazing. I've seen a lot of these show announcements coming out. I'm so sorry I got to you so late. The show is tomorrow. Guys, get your tickets now. Let's plug the ticket links. You can get tickets at the door. All that good stuff. Let's get that right out of the way.
Tickets are still on sale online, actually. They will be. So VIP tickets are online only. Those ticket sales will actually stop at noon tomorrow. So the VIP tickets will stop at noon tomorrow. Those are online only. We have about 15 of those left. So if you get a VIP ticket, it's $55. It's a front row seat. You get a fully autographed poster. And I was showing you this a little earlier, but let's show it out here.
This I love
is
it.
The poster for the show. It is the actual graphic. It is a huge poster on premium cardstock. So it's not like those flimsy posters you're going to get. And it will be completely autographed by everybody on the show, including Kylan King, who's making a special appearance on the show tomorrow. So fully autographed poster and an in-ring meet and greet with former NXT and 205 Live superstar Anthony Green. That was also part of the VIP ticket. Listen, $55, that's a steal. You're taking money out of my pocket at that point, but I don't care. I want the fans to really enjoy that. Front row seats, $30. Second row, $25. GA, $20. Kids under 5 years old are free, anywhere from 5 to 10. $10 with an adult. Any kid over 10 is a general admission ticket. But kid tickets between 5 and 10 years old are only $10 with an adult. Let the kids come in and have some fun as well. Tickets will be available at the door. All online ticket sales will stop at 7 p.m. So VIP stop at 12. Yeah. Everything else stops at 7. From 7 on, once we open doors, you'd have to buy tickets at the door.
Love it, man. Now, here's the real question. I'm a hard-hitting questions kind of guy, not really. Does Darius Carter sign the poster? Because he ain't about that.
Well, we're really in negotiations with that. We hope that maybe considering what we were able to finagle for his match. Remember, his match with Trisha Dora was just a straight up one-on-one contest. But
I'm
now,
here for that, bro.
But now we were able to finagle it, get it in contract, get it in writing. Tomorrow night, Darius Carter versus Trisha Dora will now be for the newly crowned world title, the Pan-African World Diaspora Championship. So that match will now be for the title.
Wow.
And because we were able to get that for Darius Carter and get that for that match, we're hoping Darius will be willing to sign a couple of posters.
Yeah, and that's the way you get it done, man. I like the way you're doing business already. That is how you handle business, man. And you know what? Let's get into the card a little bit, man. Obviously, Pete, I want to interview you and talk to you about, you know, how you came into this business and all that. But talking to you, let's talk about the graphics first. You showed the poster.
It gives me that old school select your player video game vibe. I think you had a video kind of like that as well. Where did that concept come from, man? Because that was really cool. I like that kind of stuff.
I've always been a fan, and I think a lot of people who've ever played fighting games, especially at the arcade, were really big fans of Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And that's where that character select screen comes from. That is exactly the globe from Marvel vs. Capcom 2, the character select screen.
Oh, I'm an idiot. That's exactly what it's from. Okay.
And I had this idea. I was like, I want to do a graphic like that. But then I kind of went into the whole – I fell down this rabbit hole of doing, wanting to do like, how do I do announcements? How do I announce the talent? How do I announce the matches? Like, you can't really pull from the same area. It's kind of tough. And I really wanted to do Super Smash. Ooh, so all of the talent announcements, every time we announced the talent for the show, we did the Super Smash Bros. A new challenger is approaching video. And then it would transition into the graphic of the talent that was appearing at the show. And so like we were literally dropping videos of just, you know, you just get that alarm, the woo woo, new challenger, a new foe has appeared. And then it would transition into whoever the talent that we were announcing was. And then I hit a little bit of a block. I was like, well, how do we announce the matches? I just don't want to just start dropping matches without having anything with it. Like at this point,
yeah,
I'm already 6 feet in the hole, got to go all the way. And I happened upon, and I've forgotten about it, the Tekken match announcement. So when you were fighting Tekken, it would say, let's get ready for the next battle. And that fiery thing would come out, the word would be on fire and everything. And so when we did the match announcements, we did the same thing. We did the video of, let's get ready for the next battle. And then that would transition to the actual match announce a match graphic itself. So we did Super Smash for talent announcements, Tekken for the match announcements, and then Marvel versus Capcom 2 for the final graphic of the poster and the flyers.
I love that, dude. Yeah, that's some good stuff. I'm a details guy, so I pay attention to that stuff. Shame on me for not recognizing the glow. Like, I knew it looked familiar, but I should have put the pieces together.
And I would be remiss if I did not shout out Nadia Hunter, if I did not shout out Jacob Deaton, and if I did not shout out actually a friend of mine, Chris Barton, who helped with a lot of the video work. Nadia Hunter and Jacob Deaton both did the flyer and graphic work. Nadia did a lot of the early stuff, had some computer issues in midway through, and I needed somebody to kind of pick up, and Jacob was able to pick that up for us. But both of them did our graphic work, and I want to give both of them a shout out. Also want to give a really big shout out to Dre, Big Baby Dre, the head host of the Your Sports Show, good friend of mine. He also helped with a lot of the video graphics and stuff like that, a lot of the setting things up. He actually created the WAW logo, the red and blue WAW We Are Wrestling logo. So a lot of people came together. You know, it takes a village to do this. Yes. I by no means am a graphic artist at all. I can honestly say the only thing I did was put together a lot of the videos using some iPhone, you know, app magic, but everything else graphically, really big shout outs to all those individuals, because without them, a lot of this stuff does not come out the way that it did.
Dude, and everything looks amazing. And just looking at this match card, some things that catch my eye. I mean, a lot of things, obviously, you mentioned earlier, Kylan King coming. I've always been a fan of her since seeing her kind of on Dark and AEW through this pandemic era. She's been amazing. So that's really cool to hear. You know, right at the buzzer, too, man. I'm hyped for that
one. Yeah, big shout out to Shockey Woodward and Grapplehurst Pro Wrestling. They're actually doing a show down at the H2O Wrestling Center on Saturday, August the 14th. They've got a stacked card as well. But Shockey hit us up and he was like, hey man, I've got Kylan coming in for the show on Saturday. She's available on Friday. Would you like her to come up and make an appearance at the show? And I was like, hey, that'd be great. You know, come up, promote your show. And you know, Rob, that's actually where the name comes from, right? We Are Wrestling. People ask me like, where did that come from? I legitimately believe wrestling is a community. This does not happen without a larger community. I am very much a believer in we can all eat. We can all make great wrestling. Everybody is going to have different visions. Everybody's going to produce wrestling differently.
I love that.
And it can all be successful, right? I've gotten help from Joaquin Morales and his team at Battle Club Pro. They've helped me a tremendous amount. So the people, Isaac Rodriguez and team over at Violence and Suffering has offered me support and help, and they've been great. Shane Fair has been a great friend of mine for years. Obviously, all the experience from all the places that I've worked, every promoter that I've worked for, every booker that I've learned from or worked for, everyone that I've learned from in this wrestling business has helped. I've had promoters, Tracy Myers from all the way out in North Carolina, who runs AML, who was one of my first supporters in trying to help me get this off the ground and saying, hey, whatever you need, I got you. And I'm there to support you. So, you know, this is really a community, right? And so I don't care whether it's my show, whether it's someone else's show. I want everyone to really be successful in this. And that's why I believe that we are wrestling, the fans, the talent, the wrestlers, whether you're a commentator, a ring announcer, a booker, a promoter, it doesn't matter, man. Like, I'm not a fan of the politics and the infighting.
Ding, ding, ding. I'm with you, bro.
Yeah, and it's like, we there's got to be a way, you know, there's enough days in the week and enough days in the month for all of us to be able to do something. And it doesn't matter if, you know, two shows are running on similar days. Like, you could be running 40 miles from each other. Everyone's going to present wrestling differently. And fan's going to have a different taste. And yeah, I'm always going to love if I can get one more fan. I'm always going to love if I get one more ticket sold. But at the end of the day, I want people to be satisfied and happy with what my show is doing. And if someone isn't into what I'm doing and they're into what's going on down the road, then hey, first of all, I'm glad that they're happy. And secondly, that also gives me an opportunity to look at my product and saying, is there a market I'm not hitting? Is there something that I'm possibly missing?
I love that, man. I love that philosophy because, first of all, I noticed that you're running on a Friday. So I popped for that. Good job, man, because everybody runs on the same Saturday. And I'm sitting here going, just from a pure, and I'm a drummer. Like, I'm a drummer, commentator. Like, I am not a promoter, but I pay attention to things, man. Even the things that you're doing, man. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And it's like, why are we all running the second weekend, like the second Saturday? It's like, because I feel like nobody wins. The talent doesn't win. The fans don't win. You know, we want more paydays for the talent. We want the fans to be able to go to more shows. I go on and on. These are just things that I think. I don't know anything, things I noticed. But you running on a Friday, I was like, yes, that's amazing, man. And I love the way that you said it. We are wrestling. Like, obviously, it just sounds like, oh, you know, we are wrestling. This is WAW. But I love that there's a philosophy behind that because I came up in a wrestling community that was all together. And now, like, you see it every day, lines in the sand or jabs or the petty game. And I just, like, it breaks my heart. I hate it because these wrestlers, like you said, have, you know, for the most part, bringing just a sense of community and have been there for me during, you know, tough times, man. You know that story, brother. And it's like, I love that this is your philosophy that we are wrestling, man. Yeah, and I like that.
Everybody, man. Even when I'm on commentary, like, and you know, most of my life, and we're going to get into this, but most of my life in this business has been as a commentator. And that's still what I do. I am still available for commentary bookings. I may be doing this show, but I am still a commentator first. But, you know, that was always a philosophy of mine is like, especially on the independents, like the fans aren't stupid. The fans are not stupid. The fans watch everything, and maybe not every fan will watch everything, but you know, especially with the birth of IWTV and Title Match and all of these avenues to consume professional wrestling, everybody watches everything, right? And so why am I going to sit here and act like someone doesn't have a resume, right? If I have a talent in the ring, I want to be able to talk about what their resume is and put them over as a talent based on their resume. And so I was always very big on, can I mention this? Can I mention that? Can I talk about this company? And I know that there are a lot of companies that are very protective. I don't want another company getting shine on my airtime. And I respect that. Whenever I worked for other companies and I wasn't in control of commentary, I always went with whatever they wanted me to do.
Sure.
You know, I know where my heart is, but at the end of the day, I have a job to do. And whatever your company wants to do for commentary, that's what I'm going to deliver. But I was very blessed to work for BCW for a number of years. I was with BCW from the very beginning. And one of the greatest things that Anthony Cole allowed me to do when I was on commentary was really just be able to put over our talent and their resumes, where they're coming from. So if they're if I got a tag team coming in who's champions in six promotions, I'm going to put them over as tag team champions in six different promotions. And I'm going to mention those things on commentary because, well, if they win, well, it makes sense. They're tag team champions in six different promotions. And if they lose, well, crap, that other team just beat a team that is tag team champions in six other promotions. Like, it's a big deal. It's not just a win for the sake of a win, right? And so that's really where I come from that realm of like wanting to really expound on those things from a commentary point of view. And I believe the same thing from promoting and a booking point of view. I want to put over other companies because at the end of the day, it helps the fans and it helps the talent, right? Because all of a sudden, you get fans who never heard of promotion X in City A.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they hear my commentary on IWTV or Title Match or YouTube or whatever. And they're just like, oh, I want to go see more of this person. So now they go look up that promotion or they go look up other videos of that talent. And all of a sudden they get to see other talent from that promotion or from that state or from that city. And what does that mean? Now they're like, oh my God, that person's really good too. I want to see that person in New York. I want to see that person in Jersey because I can't go to their city. I want to see them here. What does that do? That raises the profile for all those talent for other companies that are up here to say, hey, where our fans want to see you, why can we get you up here? Can we book you? And that's really all that I want to be able to do is really open those avenues for talent and fans to be able to expose themselves to new markets and new wrestlers.
I love that. I love everything you're saying, man, because obviously I'm going to do like, oh, you know, how'd you get arrested? Like, you know, the cliche stuff, but like, I love your philosophy, man, because, you know, I see people like I have my own ideas. Like I pay attention to things. Like I take notes on things. I'm still like greener than Kermit Frog than I always say. But like, I feel like there are certain talents that people just connect with, whether or not, you know, what they do in the ring. It's just like, it's that persona, whatever it is. Like, I want to meet them. I want to be in the same venue as them. You know, I want their 8x10, man. I noticed that thing. There's certain factions, there's certain groups, man. And I love that you pretty much kind of have like the doors wide open. You know, we're starting right here. We want to work with everybody. Well, you know, who we want to work with, kind of a thing. I love that philosophy, man. So where did you kind of go, hey, because like, I get it, man. You know, in the back of my mind, somewhere way deep, it's like, oh, maybe one day, but I'm not even close to that. But like, where did you kind of go, hey, I'm going to do this, man. Like, I'm going to put on, because I feel like that word sometimes has a negative connotation, like promoter, especially I came up in the music.
Yeah,
business.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story, man. But I like where your head's at right now. What made you say, hey, I'm going to do this?
You know, there were, you know, a lot of it was, so when I was working at BCW, there was a time where I was part of their creative team and their creative.
Oh, wow. No way.
When I was working at BCW, myself, AJ Pan, Anthony Cole, you know, we were all involved and there were some other people at certain points, but there was a time where I was lucky enough to be involved in the creative decision making backstage. And it was a beautiful time. And I really learned a lot. And it's always kind of been where my passion has been. While commentating is my number one passion, just the idea of creating pro wrestling is something like, how do I create this? How do you create those moments? How do you create these things? And being involved for that time at BCW really kind of stirred that kind of beast inside of me of like, hey, I have these ideas and I have this and I have that. And, you know, when you're working for other companies, you know, you also have to understand that there are multiple ideas on the table, right? And your idea always isn't going to be the one that is like the idea that's put on the screen or presented. And so at one point I sat there and I said, you know what? I really love doing this here at BCW and I really love this collaborative process, but like I have all of these ideas and I know that I'm going to become super frustrated if I just have all these ideas and you know, maybe the timing isn't right, or we can't do it here because, you know, we were doing a bunch of different things. We had our own stories. We had things that we were doing. And, you know, I just because I had this bright idea to do this great match, it may not be able to happen. Hey, we've got 5 months of shows planned out, right? You know, that's what happens when we do that long-term booking. And so it really was just an outlet. Like, I started writing match ideas in a notebook. Like, literally, I'd have a composition notebook where I would just write down match ideas. Match idea after match idea after match idea. I have an entire page in a notebook full of smiley matches. Like, possible smiley matches. Like a page in my notebook of just, like, possibly a possible Darius Carter matches, right? Like, just all of these different things.
Is this what we're seeing on the show a little bit? Some of these matches on the show maybe
came out some of the notebook? Yeah, some of the matches
have come pretty out cool.
of my notebook, right? And so when the pandemic hit and slowed everything down, I was just like, you know, all right, this may not happen. And to be very honest with you, the original idea for this wasn't going to take place in New York. I wasn't planning to still be in New York at this time, actually. Like, originally my plan for 2020 before the pandemic even hit was I was going to move down south to where my dad lives in North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was actually going to want to do this down there.
And bring the talent, like our Northeast talent down.
Correct.
Okay.
And when the pandemic hit and things slowed down, obviously my timetable changed and I stood in New York. And so, you know, thankfully, you know, I was very lucky to have a job that I was able to work remotely and, you know, and do these things and be able to still have an income coming in. And thankfully, I was able to stash away a little bit of money. And I said, you know, I think this might be a possibility. Maybe let's try and do one, maybe try, let's see how that goes and do it up here and see if I can't get a buzz. And then that way, whenever I do move and whenever I do take it, it's not just starting from scratch. Maybe I have something. And also I took a little bit of inspiration from the guys in the team at GoPro Wrestling. They
Love
did a
them.
Show
Love
a couple
guys.
Of years ago. And they've only done one. Everyone's been asking for a second one. But I remember sitting with them and they were like, you know, doing that show really gave us an insight as to what we were ready for, what we could still learn and how we could get better. And I was just like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one show right now. I don't know. And I told everybody, even when I was like reaching out to wrestlers to book them, I was just like, I don't know what happens after this yet. Right. So for right now, for a long time, I was telling people for right now, we're going to treat this as a one-off show. You know, I would like for it to continue, but for right now, it's a one-off.
Sure.
And my goal is really to take this show and learn from it. You know, I've never been the head of the show. I've helped book a show. I've helped been part of the creative process. I've helped book wrestlers. I've helped put together the show from beginning to end. I've commentated. I've done interviews. I've done just about all those different things, but I've never been the person putting it all together. And thankfully, I've had a great team helping me. As I said, I've had friends and people from different promotions offering me advice and offering me help and giving me their shoulders to stand on. This really is not me. Like, I've done a lot of the work, but a lot of where I'm able to do the work from comes from the shoulders of everyone who's helped me. And so for me, it's this show right now is like, I really wanted to do well. I wanted to pop off and be great, but really it's a learning experience from me. And then turn around and say, okay, I want to do a second show. I know I do. What did we do that we could do better? And what can we improve on? And then let's plan that and make that second show a success. I don't want to just jump right into a second show or get out there and make this announcement. Oh, we're doing a show on this day. And then I'm not able to make it either equal or better to that first show.
I love that, man. I'm like popping for everything you're saying, man. This is really, really great. Just looking at the card, there's some amazing, amazing matches. We'll get into this. And just talking about, you know, you saying like this kind of, you know, being a one-off, a learning experience. Again, I like that you're going into that. I like that you're coming up. I like that Shane's coming up, obviously, with basketball. Shout out to him. He's been very public about this being a litmus test for possibly something in the future. Basketball, too, already announced, man. And obviously, like, you learn from these experiences, man, and it's really cool. I think you guys are kind of like the next generation coming up, and hopefully we just make wrestling better, safer. We do things business differently, man. And I always say I love companies that build bridges and don't tear each other down, man. And it seems like you guys have that mindset, and I think the business will be better for it. The fans will win. The talent will win. And speaking about the fans winning, let's look at this card real quick. Just some things that stand out to me. Saeed, always a show stealer. Any ring he sets foot in, taking on Matt Cross. That's going to be amazing. I'm popping for that one right now. You mentioned Anthony Green. Is this his first show back?
No, so he actually made a surprise appearance at Limitless, which was his home promotion, and he wrestled there. And then he wrestled just last week at Violence and Suffering against Masha Slamovich down near the Philly area. But yeah, I believe this would be like his third or fourth appearance back.
Pretty cool.
Listen, I was wishing it was his first one back. But, you know, and I was so blessed. So I got a little message saying from Anthony saying, hey, you know, when you got some time, I'd like to talk to you. And I was just like, all right, cool. So, you know, I you know, hit him up and we start talking, and he's just like, dude, I'm really liking what you're putting together. Like, you know, can we do some work? And I was just like, man, I'd freaking love that. And you know, it really warmed my heart because I had gotten to work with Anthony Green officially once before. We were able to bring him into BCW. This was really right before like the retrosexual, the, you know, character was kind of really taking off, right before it really blew up. And I was just like, this kid, this guy, he's got it, man.
Right.
And we brought him in. And unfortunately, we were never able to make schedules work to bring him back for other appearances. And then obviously he got signed by Evolve Wrestling, and he was doing that really big run with Evolve. And then obviously got signed by the WWE. And I was super happy. And I got to work with him a lot of times behind the scenes, because whenever Evolve and Shine would do double shots in New York, I was always on the scene helping out. And being a part of that, and even the team there, like, you know, Trevin Adams and Gabe and all of those people that I learned from there. A lot of them gave me support for this as well, saying, hey, any advice, anything you need, let us know. You know, so for me, for AG to say like, hey, I want to work with you again, it was really awesome. And, you know, I'm really glad that we were able to find that space for him on the show. And the opponent he picked, like, dude, Anthony Green versus Rob Killjoy is going to steal the show. No disrespect to any of the eight other matches on this card, but Anthony Green and Rob Killjoy, I can tell you, they are going to go out there with one purpose, and that is to steal the entire show. So, like, that to me, it's just like, that match alone is like, incredible in and of itself.
Yeah, very well
said. I love Rob.
I was just gonna put him over. Yeah, dude. Yeah, him versus Saeed. I saw recently. Amazing. Oh my gosh, match of the night right there. These two, I mean, easily, like you said, man, no doubt in my mind. He's a workhorse. The tag team stuff, the single stuff, has really impressed me. You know, it translates very well. He's doing great stuff. Another one that stands out real quick, and guys, check out the card. Obviously, We Are Wrestling on Facebook. We'll get all the socials in there in just a minute. Masha Slamovich. I have a lot of friends who have faced Masha, and it's an experience. They're hurting a little bit after those matches.
Oh yeah,
Savannah Evans. Congratulations for showing up on Impact. By the way, that was really cool to see.
Congratulations, Masha. If you did not see the recent announcement, just got picked up for the NWA Empower special. Incredible, well-earned and well-deserved from Masha.
Yeah, this, I mean, congratulations to both these. I mean, that's amazing. Savannah, someone I've recently seen at Battle Club shows and such, and yes. I'm like, wow, she's really, really good. So I'm excited for this one as well. The card looks great. And again, I love your philosophy. I love the booking because it's not like, like I could tell you talk about that notebook and stuff. I could tell you've been thinking about some of these. Trish versus Darius really stands out. Killjoy in any match versus Anthony Green. And this one stands out. Cross versus Saib. It's going to be amazing. There's so many good ones, but also I like, you know, you're bringing in like the former NXT talent. You're because people don't always do that. I like the mix of it. It's really just a great philosophy, man. But to rewind a little bit, not to ask the cliche questions, I see you're wearing the Shock the System shirt, Adam Cole, baby. Hopefully tomorrow's an Adam Cole payday. But I'll ask you this, man. Who were your guys growing up, and how did you get into the business, man?
Oh, man. So I've been a fan of wrestling since I was a young kid. I grew up on early 90s WWF, late 80s, early 90s WWF. My mom actually told me when I was a kid, there was a little bit of a, when I was a kid, I fell off of a high bed as a, and not as an infant or anything, but like, it's like, I think it was like a 3-year-old or something like that. Like I fell off a high bed and my mom got really worried and rushed me to the hospital. And my mom's freaking out, like, oh my God, how's my son? How's my son? And she goes to the room and she knew I was fine because I'm watching TV and I'm doing the Bushwhackers, like nice. Doing this at 3 years old. And so she knew I was fine. I grew up a huge Ultimate Warrior fan, grew up a huge Randy Savage fan, watching late 80s, early 90s WWF. And then I got really into Ric Flair when he came to the WWF. For the Royal Rumble, and I became a huge Ric Flair fan. And my grandfather, God rest his soul, my grandfather said to me, I'm watching WWF, I think it was a primetime Saturday night or Superstars, and I'm watching this Ric Flair match, and he's just like, do you know who that is? I'm like, yeah, that's Ric Flair. And he's like, yeah, but do you know who that is? And I said, yeah, that's Ric Flair. He's the world champion. And my grandfather says, you don't know who that is. And so my grandfather grabs a stack of tapes and he shows me old school NWA.
Wow.
And I'm like 6, 7 years old. And all of a sudden, I am just hooked. And to this day, I will say, as much of a Ric Flair fan as I am, I was, and to this day still am, a huge, unabashed, unadulterated fan of the Enforcer Arn Anderson.
Really?
Arn Anderson became one of my favorites from very early on when I started to see him and watch the Horsemen. I'm a huge Horsemen fan. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have it yet, but it is planned. I am getting a Four Horsemen tattoo at some point.
Nice.
The Four Horsemen to me was incredible. And then I became a huge WCW guy. That's how I got into WCW because obviously I'm watching the Horsemen. I'm watching Ric Flair. And then I'm like, well, now Ric Flair's back in WCW. I'm watching WCW. So I'm watching WCW through the rise of WCW. And obviously now Hogan comes, the NWO comes, everything happens. I was one of those kids that would watch Nitro from 8 to 9 and then switch between Nitro and Raw from 9 to 11.
Yep.
And that was me. And honestly, the one big gap I had was I didn't get to watch a lot of ECW because I didn't have cable. I had basic cable. I had USA and stuff, but I didn't have cable when ECW was on television.
Yeah.
And then I caught the tail end of ECW and really watched a lot of ECW in reverse. And then I lost a lot of WWE when they went to TNN.
Right.
When they went to TNN and left USA, I lost that big chunk. Like I've literally, as an adult, had to catch up on a lot of the things that happened during those years in WWE. But yeah, grew up watching everything. and then started getting into the independents much later on in life. And then obviously just became a devourer of anything on the independents after that. My start in this business
actually
came much later in life. I was obviously a huge wrestling fan in 2012, late 2012. Friend of mine reaches out to me and he says, hey, and he ran a wrestling website. And he said, hey, there's an independent show in Brooklyn. I was supposed to have somebody go and cover it, but they canceled. Could you go and do some interviews and cover the show?
Cool.
And I was like, all right, cool, no problem. He's like, your ticket's paid for, everything's fine. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in.
And I go all the way to Brooklyn, which at that time for me, not having a car, taking transportation, I was just like, why am I doing this? Why am I going to Bay Ridge, Brooklyn from the South Bronx?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is not, if you are not a New Yorker and you do not know what that trip is like, it is horrendous on the train.
Yeah.
And I get to this show, and it was a show for FWE, Family Wrestling Entertainment. And I go in and I meet with, I was told my contact to meet with was a man by the name of AJ Pant. And
I know that guy.
I meet with him and he's just like, yeah, no problem. I'll set you up. I'll get you some people to interview. Everything will be fine. And I'm just there and I'm just like, it's the first time I've been like behind the scenes. I'm still seeing them finish setting up the ring. I'm seeing the wrestlers talking to everybody, talking to each other, you know, doing all of these things. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to see this.
Yeah.
And then I got to interview some really cool wrestlers. I interviewed Paul London, interviewed Eva Lise, I interviewed Tommy Dreamer. I got to interview a lot of people and cover the show. And I just kept going back. FWE became a place that I went to for every show in terms of making sure that I was doing interviews and stuff like that. I interviewed Ted DiBiase Jr., his first independent show after getting released from the WWE at FWE. Got a chance to really interview Candice LeRae.
Congratulations, Candice, by the way. Yes. Congrats.
Adrenaline Express, which if people don't know, was EJ Risk and VSK. If you haven't seen VSK and Risk on AEW Dark and in certain other independent appearances. They were a really great tag team there. Interviewed people like Petey Williams, John Morrison, Mike Bennett and Maria, Winter, you know, just got so many, the Young Bucks.
Nice.
So many opportunities through FWE to reach out and meet with a lot of these talent. Sorry. And when FWE was going on, I realized like, hey, like I want to do this. I'd like to see if I can get into wrestling. I was still very much athletic. I'd played baseball in high school and college and swam in high school. Also played basketball and football like recreationally. So I was semi-athletic.
Oh, you wanted to rep, like you wanted to get between the ropes and wrestle.
I think everybody's dream at first is to get in the ring and wrestle.
Not me, but I'm old, but go ahead. I'm new to this.
But the truth of the reality was I went to the first place I went to was what is now WrestlePro. At the time it was PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate. They weren't WrestlePro yet.
It was like the Create-A-Pro New York or whatever.
Yeah, this was before that.
Oh, okay.
Well before that. And I had started going to some PWS shows at that time, sitting front row taking pictures, like with a point-and-click camera sitting front row. And I went to one of their open house seminars. And I had known a lot of the talent from seeing them at shows and things like that. And they were like, yeah, dude, you should come. You should learn here. Everybody will take care of you. You'll learn the right things here. You'll learn correctly, you know, things like that. But the reality was I was in grad school at the time. I was in graduate school and I had a full-time job as a middle school teacher. I still am a full-time middle school teacher. And I really looked at the reality of it and I was just like, I'm not going to be able to dedicate the amount of time to wrestling training that I should. And I respect this business too much.
Right.
To be one of those people that half-ass wrestling training and think I'm the shit. when I'm not. And so I kind of walked away from the idea of training. And okay. I was just like, but I still want to do this. What can I do? And growing up, one of my non-wrestling idols, in terms of not being a wrestler, even yeah. though he was,
right.
One of my biggest idols was Bobby Heenan, Tony Schiavone, and commentary. And I was just like, well, I can talk.
Yeah.
I have a background in sports radio. I went to Syracuse University and I did, you know, sports radio broadcasting and things like that. So I was like, I have a background in sports radio. I know I can talk. I know I can present this.
It makes perfect sense.
Why can't I do commentary? Like, maybe I can even manage. I have a punchable face. I can manage. Right?
Nice.
And so it was like trying to learn how to get in. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of wrestling schools that offer training in commentary. There's not a lot of wrestling schools that offer training in the more backstage production stuff. Like, there's not schools that really teach you how do you book pro wrestling? How do you produce pro wrestling? How do you do commentary and things like that? And so, unfortunately, it was hard for me to find a place to teach me how to do that. So I had to work my way in, you know, the longer way, and, you know, started doing photography, learned how to take semi-decent pictures. By no way am I as good as any of the ringside photographers that are out there, but I learned how to take semi-decent enough pictures where there were a couple of wrestling companies that let me be ringside and take pictures. And it was always just trying to, you know, the Paul Heyman thing, see if I can just get a step closer to what I wanted to do. And lo and behold, let's bring it full circle. FWE had closed down after a while. And AJ Pan had moved on to doing commentary at a company called Five Borough Wrestling, based out in Brooklyn and Queens, primarily in Brooklyn. And I was doing some photography for them, and AJ and I reconnected. I was like, man, AJ, I really love to do commentary, man. I know I couldn't do it at FWE because there were like other people doing it, but man, I'd love to do commentary with you. And he was doing commentary with somebody else at the time. And one day the person didn't show up. And he put me over to the promoter, Troy Thompson, great dude. Love that man to death. And Troy said, all right, I'll give him a shot. And I did it. And from that day on, I became the play-by-play voice for Five Borough Wrestling. Actually, the first show that I called for Five Borough Wrestling, I did it solo because AJ wasn't going to be there that day anyway. But the commentators that they were supposed to have didn't show up. And AJ got me the spot. And I ended up calling that first show by myself, lost my voice by the main event, was definitely not ready. Lost my voice by the main event, which was, of course, was Mike Verna winning the Five Borough Wrestling Heavyweight Championship, which was like a 2-year long story coming to fruition. And here I am, no yeah. voice, trying to celebrate it in the main event. But thankfully, Troy kept me and I started doing commentary at Five Borough from then on. Got picked up by a couple of other places, did a couple of commentary spots at a couple of other places. Actually was part of Battle Club Pro when they first started in the Bronx. They actually ran their first couple of shows 5 blocks away from where I lived at the time. So their first couple of shows, I did some backstage interview work back to my roots there. And then I caught on with a company in the Bronx called BWF, Bronx Wrestling Federation. I did their ring announcing. So I transitioned to doing ring announcing, and I just
oh,
ring
wow.
announcing for a couple of companies. I was decently good at that. And they needed a on-screen character to be the commissioner.
And oh, okay.
They were like, could you do it? And I immediately, the Paul Heyman DVD popped into my head, and I was just like, of course, I'm your yep. guy. I've been yep. doing it all my life.
Nice.
And they made me the on-screen character as the commissioner. So I was actually doing both things. I was actually still doing the ring announcing and the commissioner. So what I oh, started wow. to do was, instead of ring announcing from the ring, I would ring announce from the back.
Right. Impact.
So no one saw me. And then would come out and do promos and stuff like that as the commissioner.
Brilliant.
Actually, I transitioned that job over to Shane. Shane took the job ring announcing from me because I was like, I can't do both of these things.
Yeah.
And BCW got started. At the time, I got in on the ground floor helping with handing out flyers and promoting. I just wanted to get my foot in the door.
Right.
And originally, I was not scheduled to do commentary. I was literally just helping with promotion and stuff like that. And I go to the venue the day of, help set up, help do everything. And they were like, hey, you want to do commentary, right? I was like, yeah. And they were like, all right, you're going to do commentary with this other guy. And I was like, great. And then they were like, oh, but we only have one microphone. Oh, okay. We'll split the show. He can call half the show. I'll call the other half. All right, fine. Y'all figure it out. Well, the person I was supposed to work with had some issues with their place on the show, and they ended up leaving the show and not performing.
Everything you're saying is the most independent wrestling thing I've ever heard, but yeah.
And they were just like, well, you're calling commentary by yourself the whole show.
Good for you,
man. That whole first show, mind you, at this point, now a lot of people didn't know this. At this point, I'm about close to five years having done odd jobs or different things in the business.
Yeah.
And I called the first show for BCW all by myself. And after the show, Anthony Cole, the owner and promoter of BCW, came up to me and said, what's your name? And I said, Pete. And my voice was almost shot by that point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm Pete. He's like, dude, you did a great freaking job. He's like, you're my guy. You're my commentary guy. And wow. I was just like, all right, cool. I need a partner.
Yes. That's when you start reaching out to like the talent. Like, you want to come call them? I love it when the wrestlers come. I've done some stuff with Riley. She's great. Big Rock. I did some stuff. I love it when the wrestlers come to the table, man. That's always fun.
So much fun. Actually, the first commentary partner I had at BCW was Julius Smokes.
Okay.
Who I learned so much from. And I mean, we only called, I mean, think maybe three or four shows together. And I learned so much from Julius. Then Julius was no longer with us. I called commentary at a couple of spot partners. Then, oddly enough, I did commentary. His first ever gig on commentary, I sat down with MJF.
Oh, boy.
MJF's first night, don't let him tell you any different. MJF's first night on commentary was sitting next to me doing color for a BCW show, wrestled on.
I'm sure he was a perfect gentleman.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The sarcasm detector just broke.
So much fun. And MJF had so much fun doing it. And then I was just like, I reached out to Anthony Cole and I said, hey, I know a guy that I think would be great. At that time, we were also looking for some people to help out backstage. And this was my chance to really give back. And I reached out to AJ and I said, hey, man, I remember what you did at FWE. You were always backstage helping out. You were a major part of that team. Anthony Cole, you know, is looking for somebody to really help backstage. You think you'd be willing to come in? And he met with Anthony Cole. And next thing I know, AJ Pan's part of BCW and he's my commentary partner. And me and AJ just ran with it. I mean, we had been on commentary before, so we had experience with each other, and it was just peanut butter and jelly on the
I love that.
And it was so easy and so much fun. And then Shot of Wrestling got involved with BCW. Green Man got involved on commentary. I actually did Green Man's first show on commentary was with me. He was nervous. And I said, bro, I got you. Don't worry. At that point, I felt confident sitting next to anybody. And I said, I got you. You're good. And Green Man and I did a couple of shows together. And then we had a three-man booth. Myself, Green Man, and AJ. And it just was so fluid and so beautiful. Janelle from HR, from the Jobbeteers podcast.
Love Janelle.
Did our Queen of the North shows with me and AJ and Green Man, and that was a great experience. And then when Riley was injured, when Riley got her knee injury, she ran on commentary with us.
She's amazing. Yeah, one of some of the most fun I've ever had. And I learned from her, too. She's an in-ring talent, but I learned so much. She was always good at bringing it right back to the action. And I could say so many good things about Riley. She's amazing in every form of fashion.
And there's, like, so many people. Like, I'm actually going to be so stoked tomorrow night to be on commentary for the first time with Sam Laterna.
Love and Sam.
And Alphonse Stevens.
Love Alphonse. Oh, you know, so good.
I remember when Al was reffing. I hope Al can get back to reffing one day.
You look good at basketball. He looked good, bro.
He looked great. And I really hope he can get back to reffing. But that kid, he's really got something on commentary. He's got a voice.
Yeah, he does.
And I really am going to love being able to sit with him tomorrow and do commentary. Listen, I recognize commentary talent. Now, when I heard Al, I was just like, this kid's good.
Yeah.
This kid's got a natural talent for this.
Very good. Sam's great, too.
My first time with Sam Laterna on the commentary table. It's going to be good to reunite with AJ. Obviously, you and I had our first commentary experience together at basketball,
which
was a lot of fun. Also, my first commentary experience with Mr. Ryan himself.
Love Jimmy too. So many good people, man. All good people and all professional too.
And that's what I love, man. I mean, I love being on the mic. Like, don't get me wrong. I love doing what I'm doing with We Are Wrestling, and I love being able to create wrestling. But my first and foremost love is doing commentary. That is something that if someone told me you could never book another show again, but you'll be commentary bookings for the rest of your life. All right, cool. That's my love. That's what I love doing. There's nothing better than being behind that microphone and being able to put over the talent.
That's what it is. It's like they can tell their story in the ring, and we have the privilege and honor of telling their story as best we can, man. And I love doing that. And I love that this little podcast that I have has transitioned to me to somewhat of behind the curtain roles or playing people out on my drums or getting the tap on the shoulder to do commentary. And I'm so grateful for just meeting all y'all, getting to work with y'all, man. It is a pleasure working with you and just learning from you guys. Like, I'm greener, you know, like I said, than Kermit the Frog on a golf course, like I always say, man. But I'll give you this, man. I want you to save your voice for tomorrow. I know you got places to be, things to do. I got a couple rapid fire questions for you real quick.
All right, go ahead. Shoot, man.
And be real with me. Don't be nice. Cause I ask everybody this, I learn from everybody. I always like to ask everyone this question. I get a lot of the same answers from the wrestlers and stuff like that. This is not putting me overtime. This is what can I do better? Cause I have a whole list, man. From a commentator standpoint, what advice would you give to me to a very green commentator coming up right now?
So learn all of it. Right. Learn how to do play by play, learn how to do color, learn how to do analysis, because you never know what a company is going to need. A company may have a play by play person, but need a color commentator. They might need somebody to fill that Mike Tenay role and do analysis like Battle Club Pro for Jobber Slam. The Jobberteers podcast team and Joakim came up to me and said, "Hey, bro, would you like to do guest commentary on a match?" And I was like, I'd be freaking honored. And they were like, "All right, we want you to do analysis." And I was like, "All right, cool." And, you know, that's not usually my style, but I can do it, right? And so it's like learning how to do everything on the table is very important. I think you know the most important thing, the talent comes first. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I go out there, "Hey, I'm the voice of a generation, Pete Rosado," you know, but right after that, it's not about me.
Yeah,
it's here's who I am now. All right, boom. Here's what's going on out there. Put them over. One of the cool things that I learned, spend some time going back and talking to the talent about know their finishers, know if they have any named maneuvers. That's one of the things that I used to hate early on in my commentary career was not knowing that a move had a certain name.
Yeah.
And then I just call it what I know it to be. And they're just like, "Dude, that's my this, this, and that." And I'm like, Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I didn't even know. So I really do try to sit down with a lot of the wrestlers early on, like, hey, do you have any signature maneuvers? Do you have anything? Boom, boom, boom. So I can be on the outlook. So if it happens in the match, I can put it over and call what it is, exactly what it is. It's like, imagine not knowing that Triple H called his finisher the pedigree and just be like, all right, there he goes with a double underhook face buster.
It's not as exciting. Yeah.
Great. Right. Point. It's like, no, that's the pedigree. You call it the pedigree.
Yeah, that was the first. So the first thing I did was that, like, because just being an interviewer, like, that's why I reached out to a lot of talent on social media before my first call. And then obviously, you know, talking to people at events and stuff like that. Also, my first couple times was like, I want to make an impression, but I don't want to step on toes. And I, like you say, like the voice of generation, I feel like Rob Williams is this self-deprecating, super baby face, trying to be funny kind of person. And I see that, and I don't like acting and all that. Like, I'm a drummer first and foremost, man. I'm you know, this microphone thing's still very new to me, but I love doing it. And at the same time, a lot of the feedback I get from the wrestlers is like, no, we like that you're you. We like that you're the guy from the podcast. And I think I'm learning, just getting all the different advice from everybody, man. And I appreciate working with you and picking your brain, man. I could do a whole nother podcast with you about that stuff, man.
Dude, it does bring a whole nother light to it. Like, cause again, you're also coming at it from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
Without, not necessarily without being a fan, but necessarily without having the nativity of a fan. Right.
Right. Having been behind the curtain.
But not like there's differences between, like, you know, marking out because something is freaking awesome and freaking cool, and just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, there's that level of controlled excitement, which is really awesome.
Like, right? That's great storytelling, or that's great.
Right. And Pat McAfee does it very well on SmackDown, right? Like, he takes it to the umpteenth level.
I hate that he's so good at everything.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, he takes it to the umpteenth level, but that controlled excitement, like remembering that you can be excited by this. You know, but, you know, it's, and every company wants something different. Like, I tell companies all the time, you know, when I reach out about commentary opportunities, I can do television commentary. If you want a WWE style commentary, like a Cole or something like that, I can do that. If you want an NXT style, like a Morrow or something like that,
I love me some Morrow, man.
If you want an indie-rific kind of thing, I can give you that. If you want conversational, I can give you that. If you want sports-based presentation, I can give you that. If you just want me to go balls to the wall and do whatever and just treat commentary like we're just watching wrestling, I can do that too. You know, but nice. Every company's going to want something different. Every company's going to want a different voice. So how can you still be you while giving a different presentation of who you are?
I love, dude, that's the quote right there, man. I love that. Very, very well said, man. Really, really quick, not to be cliche here, but I did want to ask you, man, what are the goals moving forward? You know, you love doing this. You love doing commentary. Is it the WWEs of the world? Is it the AWs? Is it the right fit? Or is it to be more of the promoter or stay on the indies or open a wrestling school? I've heard all the answers.
Oh, man. Honestly, I'm open to it all. I want to experience. I love the ride. I love the experience. I love everything that I'm able. I'm blessed to be able to even be a part of the wrestling business for as long as I have. It's been 8.5, almost 9 years that I've been a part of this wrestling business. And I barely think I've even scratched the surface of what I could possibly do. If the WWE called me, I'd love to do anything that they would love me to do. If I got a call from the NWA, from MLW, you know, if you know, AEW called me, I would not say no to something. It has to feel right for me. And not only say it has to feel right for me, but I also know, like, I want to be able to do the best job that I can do wherever I am without not feeling that I'm sacrificing who I am. Not to say that I can't change, I can't grow, I can't be different, because I can't. And if AEW called me tomorrow, WWE called me tomorrow and said, hey, we want you to go and we want you to do it like this, all right, cool. I would love it. I would love it. And I don't say that anything is not an option. Probably the only thing that's not an option is anything in Mexico or Japan, because I don't yet know how to speak perfect enough Spanish for Spanish commentary or Japanese. But hey, if New Japan English and New Japan America wants a commentator, I'll do it. I'll do anything, man. I'll go to anywhere that calls. I've met some great people in some great places. I've learned from people that have been in the WWE. I've been able to learn from people that have been in different places. I'll take anything as an opportunity. Heck, I'll take working at an indie company in the States or anywhere else as an opportunity. My goal right now is obviously to grow We Are Wrestling in any way that's possible. And honestly, my other goal is to just be booked on commentary. Anybody that needs a commentator, I'm available. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I work for free, but pay my tolls and get me home. That's it. Like, that's it. Like, I just want to call commentary. I want to work with some great people and have fun. And that's it. Like, I just want to work, man.
You still have that love for the business, man. And that's great. And I'm excited for you. All, you know, all the good luck and congratulations to you to tomorrow. I know tomorrow's a very, very special show for you, a big show for you, man. Wishing you all the luck in the world. Anything you want to say to the fans right now, a little shameless promo, but just anything you want to say to the fans right now, talk to them about coming out for tomorrow's really special show.
All right. So I'm going to put on the voice for you. Here we go. Hashtag shameless promo. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to want to be in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey tomorrow night for the debut show of We Are Wrestling. Wanna be starting something, presenting 9 incredible matches, 7 of them first time ever encounters, including a match with former NXT and 205 Live superstar Anthony Green going one-on-one with Ugly Ducklings member Rob Killjoy. But that's not all. We have Darius Carter, first time ever against Trish Adora for the Pan-African World Diaspora Championship. We also have Saeed Al-Sabah versus Matt Cross, a first time ever tag team extravaganza match, where the besties in the world making a rare Northeast appearance go up against MSP. You've got Becca, the queen of the scrunchie squad, going one-on-one against Space Jesus, Billy Starks. You've got Savannah Evans against Masha Slamovich. You've got a 5-way style scramble match, which pits Isaiah Wolf against Mike Law, against Jhenny Kai, against the Monster Bruno, and against Big Game Leroy coming in as the new fifth entrant, taking over for Rob Killjoy. Nice. You also have triple threat action where Steve Pena goes up against the gifted one, Yaya, and Yo-Yo. I mean, listen, the card's incredible. And add on to that, a special appearance by AEW Dark and AEW star Kylin King. Tickets are still available. Get yours now on brownpapertickets.com. Search up We Are Wrestling. VIP tickets, $55. Get you an in-ring meet and greet with Anthony Green and a fully autographed poster of the show, plus a front row seat to all the action. Or if you want to buy your seats at the door, come on, front row, $30, second row, $25. General admission, $20. But let me tell you, any seat you get in the house is going to be a good seat for wannabe starting something tomorrow night, 8:00, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey.
Very well done. It's like you've done this before, man. Very, very well done. A shameless promo for you. Tell people where they can follow you on social medias and contact you, email if they wanted to give you a gig, bro.
Hey, We Are Wrestling. You can follow us on Twitter, We Are Wrestling. On Facebook, We Are Wrestling. On Instagram, We Are Wrestling. Follow us on all of those platforms. You might have to search at @wrestling_we. Unfortunately, We Are Wrestling was taken on some of these platforms. As for me, you could find me on Facebook at Peter Rosado. You could find me on Instagram at PD Rosado. PD Rosado 4087. And on Twitter, even though I've been more on the We Are Wrestling Twitter recently over the last couple of months, but you could definitely find me on Twitter at Pete Rosado 87. We're all over the place. We're interested in, hey, We Are Wrestling is coming to you. And if you don't catch it live, you'll be able to see it soon enough. Please stay tuned, because if you're not there live, it's going to be available for you to be able to purchase online and watch it and see all the great action that you missed live.
Love it. You heard it here first. Bro, Pete, thank you so much. Just an honor.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yes.
What a goof. What a goof. I completely forgot. I completely forgot the match sponsored by the Jobber Tears podcast. Ken Broadway versus Richard Holiday. How could I forget that? Oh, my God.
I'm hyped. This whole card, these nine matches look phenomenal, guys. You know, like I always say, the real winners, the fans. Check it out, guys. Tomorrow night, as of the airing of this, obviously, it's going to be the 13th. Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Some good stuff. We Are Wrestling. Pete, thank you so much, man, for just letting me learn from you, letting me pick your brain. I wish you all the success in the world tomorrow and moving forward. Stay safe. Thank you so much, my man, and continued success, bro. Thank you.
Thank you. And listen, I can't wait to be on a table with you one more time. We got to do this again, and this time for a wrestling show. So let's figure that out. We got to find someone. Hey, anybody wants to book myself and the Bob Culture Podcast himself, the Pun Father, get us together.
I love it, man. I'm excited, man. All right, guys. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.